We're going to do a mini-series. It's going to take about 3 weeks, and we're going to be doing the importance of the Holy Spirit to the believers. And this is going to culminate on Pentecost Sunday, and we'll be teaching all the way through from now and going to help you. I'm going to introduce you to the third person of the Godhead, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And we just want to say some things about the Holy Spirit and about how important he is to us. You know, the Holy Spirit was the one who was involved in creation. When Father spoke, and Jesus was at that stage the creator, but the Holy Spirit was the one who hovered over the world, over the waters of the deep. Remember that? So creation came about by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then you also remember the Bible tells us that all Scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's God-breathed. So your entire Bible came via the Holy Spirit. Not Jesus. It came by the Holy Spirit to tell us about Jesus. The Holy Spirit anointed men and women, and they spoke, what they said was recorded. But it was the Holy Spirit that did this. Also remember how important the Holy Spirit is, that Jesus said, you can sin against me, and you can sin against the Father, and you'll be forgiven, but you can't sin against the Holy Spirit and be forgiven. So that's a power thing. In the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, there were times when a cloud would appear. There were times when the shiny cloud would appear, and it was the manifested glory of God. When Moses was in the tabernacle meeting in the cloud, who was that? That was the Holy Spirit. He was present in this manifested form of a cloud and also as light and glory. So we see the Holy Spirit throughout Scripture in a very predominant fashion. Possibly we have overlooked some of these things. You know, we think about Jesus doing all these miracles that he did, and he did. But how many of you know that Jesus never did a single miracle until he was baptized by the Holy Spirit? Now, he was already 30 years old, and he was baptized in water. When he came out from the water, the Holy Spirit came down, and it came down in motion like this that would appear. It looked like a bird coming down. It was not a bird. The Holy Spirit was not a bird coming down. But the movement looked like a bird, and so they said came down like a dove, and the light fell upon. That's when he stepped out and did his first miracle. No miracles before that. So Jesus operated by the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit, and we should do the same thing. Right? Yeah. Time to get excited. Next time, come sit in the front, okay? All right. So if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, we need the Holy Spirit. Absolutely. All right. So you know that Jesus said to his disciples, these guys have been with him for 3 years. He had mentored them. They had seen the miracles. They had done amazing stuff themselves. And then he said to them, I want you to go and wait in Jerusalem until you receive the power of the Holy Spirit that comes upon you. I don't want you to go into ministry at all, do anything, until you have the power of the Holy Spirit upon you. See, Jesus didn't do anything in ministry until he received the Holy Spirit. And he said the same thing to his followers. He said, I don't want you in ministry. You can't cope with ministry until you have the power of the Holy Spirit upon you. So what does it say about ministers today? We ought to have the Holy Spirit, right? Okay, so if God thought that the ultimate promise was his presence in us, then we should give heed to that. Remember, he said, I'm with you, but I will be what? In you. He will be in you. So that was God's desire, and God's plan was him, the ultimate promise of God, that he was going to be in his people. God was not happy just to be with them. He wanted to be in them. And we need to remember this. All right, so perhaps we should look at some scripture, because obviously this is a big subject, and you know, I would need a number of hours, maybe 12 hours, to get through the first point. So forgive me for, you know, not covering everything about the Holy Spirit. I just want to introduce you to this wonderful person. Back in the Old Testament, God made a promise to Abram, who became Abraham. The promise that he made to Abraham is fulfilled 4,000 years later. Well, 2,000 years later, it is still being fulfilled today by us. The promise to Abraham was that we, the Gentiles, would be able to receive the Holy Spirit after we are redeemed by faith. That was the promise. So let's have a look at that scripture to begin this. This is where we finished off last week when we have been studying the series on the blood covenant. And if you haven't listened to it yet, please go back and listen to the six teachings on the blood covenant. It's very, very important. Change your life. Here in Galatians 3 and verse 14, the Bible says this: God, he redeemed us. Now watch carefully. He redeemed us. You know what that means? He paid the price for you, took you out of sin, redeemed you. Watch, it didn't say in order that you could go to heaven. See, if you ask most Christians, why do you think God saved you? They'd say, so I could go to heaven. Listen carefully to me. Heaven is not a reward for being a Christian. If it was a reward, that means you earned it. Heaven is simply going to be your new home. That's all it is. Because this home is going to get burnt up. Okay? The people that are worried about climate change are right. It's going to get fired up. Bible says so. We're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. But that's going to be our home. So we're going there because we have nowhere else to go. It's not a reward for being a Christian. It's where Christians go. Does that make sense to you? Yes. All right. Now watch this. He said he redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abram might come on the Gentiles. How many of you here this morning are Gentiles? All right. Well, if you're not a Gentile, you've got to be a Jew. Do we have any Jews here this morning? You a Jew? All right. So the rest of us are paying retail, right? We're Gentiles. So he redeemed us so that the blessing given to Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Christ Jesus. How's it going to come? Through Christ Jesus. This is how the blessing's going to come. Now, this is what it is. So that by faith, we Gentiles might receive heaven? No. No. Might receive what? Promise of the Spirit. The whole covenant that he made with Abraham is concluded in this amazing promise and provision that we who are outside the covenant of the Jewish people and Israel, the Gentiles, can now be redeemed. And through Jesus Christ, if we exercise faith, we can receive the promise of the Holy Spirit and God will be in us. That is the great mystery revealed now in the new covenant. It's the great mystery of the old covenant that people could not understand. It was hidden, but it's now revealed to us, God in us. Say this with me, God is in me. The indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, is the greatest sign that we are actually in the new covenant. Most, you know, Bibles have got two covenants, old and new. They don't break up all of the covenants in for you. You'd have to come to Bible college to get the understanding of all of the covenants. But generally speaking, there's an old and a new. Well, if there's a new, that means the old is now void. Because there's a new. The new has replaced the old. The fact that we have the Holy Spirit in us is the greatest sign that the old has passed away and the new has come. Because under the old covenant, Gentiles could not be saved and could not receive the Holy Spirit. In fact, Nobody could. Because you had to be born again in order to receive the Holy Spirit. So we are now living in what we refer to as the dispensation of grace or the church age. This is where God's grace has been given to us. Now, the Bible tells us that if we really believe, really, really, really believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. The question, what does it mean to really believe? So I thought I would do a little illustration this morning and find out if you really believed. What does it look like? Okay. So I need a volunteer to come up on the stage. Somebody who really, 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 really believes. I'm looking for some volunteers. You know what? Jessica, come on up here. Okay. You can hide the board back there for a moment. Jessica, I need you to stand here on the stage. I want you to face this way. Face this way. Okay. And I'm going to blindfold you. Just move back a little bit towards the end of the stage. I'm going to blindfold you. You got something I can use to blindfold her with? Can you try it?
I can try.
Okay, we're going to blindfold her, and then I'm going to ask you to fall backwards. You laugh. You're glad it's not you that's here, huh?
Yeah, usually it's me.
Okay, so see, this is a test. Does she have faith in me? And I'm going to tell you this, Jessica. I'm going to catch you. Do you believe me?
Mm-hmm.
Not very convincing, Jessica. Okay, now, what faith does, Jessica, is faith, this is what he says to you, if you fall, I'll catch you. Now, you have to believe that. So I'm not going to tell you when to fall. You fall whenever you want to because it's the operation of your faith. So if you fall, you're exercising your faith whenever you're ready. Yay, give her a good round of applause. Yeah. Were you scared? I thought you'd be scared.
I thought you'd be.
You knew God would take care of you. That's exactly what faith is. Thank you, Jessica. Awesome. Really believing simply means putting your entire trust in God without you knowing what's coming. Except from the Bible, where God says, I'll catch you. God says, I'll take care of you. And you trust him implicitly, and you have peace, even though you're going through a trial. Okay? So there you go. Good job. That's exactly what I want to illustrate. So the Bible says, if you really put your trust in Jesus, like she put her trust, if you really, really, really believe in Jesus, then you will be sealed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. In Ephesians 1 and verse 13, let's read it. And you were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth. You were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, because faith comes when you hear the word. The word of truth is the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, that's past tense. See that? Having believed, you are marked in him, in Jesus. You are marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. So in Christ, because you've believed, you now receive a seal of ownership. And that seal is the Holy Spirit. It's so important that you understand. This seal and this Holy Spirit represents a deposit, a down payment. If you go to buy something and, you know, we call it layaways. There used to be put a deposit down and we'll hold it for you. Today, you can just do a layaway and they don't have to put a deposit down and you don't even have to show up. But it used to be put a deposit down and if you don't come back, we keep your deposit. That's how it used to be, right? Well, the deposit is a guarantee of the inheritance. The Holy Spirit, that seal, is a guarantee of the inheritance, watch this, until the redemption of those who are God's possession. Raise your hand and say, I'm God's possession. So the redemption of God's possession is going to take place in some future time. But in the meantime, we have a deposit. We have a seal. We have a guarantee. While we are treading water down here, There is a seal. We have been touched. We've got been sealed by the Holy Spirit while we wait for the full redemption and possession to be taken away. Because we're God's. We belong to God. We don't belong to ourselves anymore. He owns us. We gave ourselves to Jesus. Then he sealed us with a deposit, a guarantee, which is the Holy Spirit. Okay? So you have that seal, which is the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the guarantee that you are in the new covenant. Now, the new covenant has tremendous promises. We've inherited so much, it would take eternity to explain it. In fact, there's so much that we've inherited that we actually need the Holy Spirit to explain to us what we've inherited. And that explanation is called revelation knowledge. It's revealed knowledge. It's knowledge that you don't have, but the Holy Spirit gives it to you. And then you go, oh, wow. Oh, yeah. Well, how cool is that? And it's like the light went on. It's called revealed knowledge. The Holy Spirit is the teacher that produces this revealed knowledge. So the Holy Spirit, again, is the seal of our ownership, the ownership by God. Let me give you one more scripture, and then we'll get into the sermon for today. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 21. Now it is God who makes both us and you, stand firm in Christ. He anointed us. The anointing is the Holy Spirit coming upon you. He set his seal of ownership on us and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. God can't break his word. It would make him a liar. And if he lies, he'd have to forgive the devil. God cannot lie. He cannot change. He's the truth. He's always the truth. When God said, this is what's going to happen, it's going to happen. It's a guarantee. God guaranteed it. He guaranteed it by his own blood. And on top of all that, he gave us the Holy Spirit to guarantee that it's going to happen. So having received the Holy Spirit, you can say, God, I know that 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 I know. It's going to happen. You said so. Now, some of the things that the Holy Spirit, how important the Holy Spirit is, I'm just going to brush over some broad strokes. We'll get into some of these in the next 3 weeks, but let's go through some of them. First of all, the Holy Spirit is the one who recreates your human spirit when you get born again. It's the work of the Holy Spirit that comes in and recreates, makes anew the Holy Spirit, your human spirit, so that God could come and live in you. The Holy Spirit is God's presence in you. The Holy Spirit reveals to us what we have inherited in Christ. There's no other way you can receive it. He is our teacher. He reveals it to us. The Holy Spirit is the power and the ability of God dwelling in you. He leads us. He guides us in daily things, in everything. The Holy Spirit is your guide. He is your leader. He tells you where to go. Don't go here. Come there. Do this. And he is our teacher. You see, a lot of people don't know that. They think Jesus is the teacher because he was a teacher was on earth. They called him teacher. Now they think Jesus is the teacher today. But the Bible doesn't say that. I will give you Jesus' own words. Jesus' own words. It said, I'm going to send you an advocate. I'm going to send you a comforter, and he will teach you everything you need to know. He will lead you into all truth. Jesus didn't say, I'm going to teach you. He said, I'm going to send you somebody. In fact, Jesus said that I want to share with you, but you know what? You can't receive it now. This will blow your mind. It'll blow your socks off. You're like playing a pinball machine. You'll tilt. I want to tell you some stuff, but you can't receive it. It's too much for you. It's beyond your human comprehension. So I have to wait until you are born again and the Spirit dwells in you, and then you have the capacity to receive the instruction from God. Only then. Right now, in your human state, you can't receive it. So I can't tell you. You're going to have to wait till the Holy Spirit comes. You will be his temple. You are the temple. Say that right now. I am the temple of God. So in other words, God lives in you, correct? So what's God's address? Your home address, wherever you're living. That's God's address. It's true. And you see, all of you came here this morning. You brought God with you. So wherever you go, you take God with you. We sang a song, Lord, help me to be more aware of your presence. And that's the whole idea. We're trying to bring to you an awareness that God is in you and that he's with you. And some people have the idea, well, you know, if I make a mistake or I do something wrong, then God leaves me. No, that's not what happens. It's not what happens. He's with you and he's working on you. The Bible even says he's married to the backslider. So if you get cold in heart and you drift from God, he stays with you. David said, even if I run into the pit of hell, you're with me. You can't run from God. And stop running because he's with you wherever you go. He loves you and he's married to you and he's working on you, trying to draw you into a better relationship that you have now. You see, none of us at this point have the best relationship we're ever going to have with Jesus. Because if you think you're at the best relationship you're going to have, then you've arrived. Well, none of us arrived because this is an ongoing progressive thing where we're growing in the knowledge and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all growing. We're just at different levels. All right? But if you stop growing and you stand still, then literally you become a backslider. Other people go past you. So you don't want to do that. You want to keep growing to reach your full potential. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, another thing he does, he enables you to pray the perfect will of God. Well, who wouldn't want to pray the perfect will of God? Seriously. We all want to pray the will of God, don't we? Well, when the Holy Spirit comes into you, he enables you to pray the perfect will of God. That we will cover. And then he enables you to worship in spirit and truth. Remember, Jesus said this. He said, the Father is seeking those who worship in spirit and in truth. He said, you must. It's not an option. You must worship in spirit and in truth. The Father is seeking such. Do you know the Bible doesn't say the Father is seeking anybody else? This is a unique group. You got to grasp this, you know. You got to grasp this. You know, well, God loves everybody equally. That's true. But not everybody brings pleasure to him. You see, you love your children equally, but not all children bring equal pleasure. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Don't look around. Look straight at me. Just keep looking straight at me. I don't want any of your children sitting here to think, oh, well, what do you think about that? Take them to lunch and explain. How do I know that? Because the Bible said without faith, you can't please God. God needs to see faith in your heart so you can fall off the stage backwards, blindfolded. That faith in God pleases him. See? When you believe what God said to you, you please him. God says, do this, and you do it, you please him. But if you don't do it, you displease him. That doesn't mean he just stops loving you. It just means you're in a place where you're not pleasing him. Okay? All right, so when it comes to worshiping in spirit and truth, he said, I will come seeking those who worship in spirit and truth. God wants to be amongst those who worship in spirit and truth. That's why we have such a sense of his presence here at the Promised Church. Because we yield ourselves to that worship in spirit and truth. And when we do that, we sense an outpouring of his presence in a tangible fashion. We go, what is that? Can't really explain it. Well, the Father just showed up. Father comes seeking those who worship in spirit and truth. Jesus said that. I didn't make that up. Jesus said that. Hello. Okay? Jesus said that. And I'm going to believe Jesus. Jesus said the Father's going to come looking for those in spirit and, who are worshiping in spirit and truth. I'm going to worship in spirit and truth. And when I get there, woo, I'd tell him, say, Father showed up. Mm-hmm. All right. And the Spirit is going to reveal your future. Mm. You don't have to go to a palm reader or ball thing, whatever. Holy Spirit will reveal your future. And he is the glory of God. The Bible says that in the last days, the glory of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And what is that? What is that? What is that? Well, that is the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible tells me that Jesus was raised by the glory of God. And then he said, if the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he will also quicken your mortal body. So the Bible clearly says that the glory is the Spirit. And that's why Jesus said, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but I can't stop it. Jesus said in his prayer, Father, the glory that you've given to me, I have given to them. What was that? Was the Holy Spirit. You see, you've always wondered, what was that glory that he gave us? It was the Holy Spirit. See, because Father gave Jesus the Spirit without measure. And he passed that Spirit. I will show you. And Jesus passed that Spirit on. And even today, Jesus is still the baptizer with the Spirit. He is still the one imparting the Spirit to believers. All right, let's begin our service. Honestly, that was my introduction. This is a big topic. All right. Turn to John 14, verse 16. And then verse 17 and verse 26. Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, another advocate, to help you and to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him. The world cannot receive him because the world neither sees him nor knows him. Can you put that board up here for me so we can angle it out so most people can see it? Thank you so much. Jesus said, I will ask. What is he going to do? Say ask. Yeah, when you get to heaven, you'll find out this is how they talk in heaven like this. This is how they do it. Okay? So, I will ask the Father, and he will give you. The Father will give, but I will ask. Another comforter, another helper, another advocate that the world cannot receive. Who's the world he's talking about? Unbelievers. Unbelievers. So watch this now. An unbeliever cannot be filled with the Spirit. Because the unbeliever doesn't believe. That's why he's an unbeliever. That's real smart. I figured that all out myself. God didn't even help me with that one. Okay, so unbelievers disbelieve. Unbelievers can't receive because they have to receive the Holy Spirit by faith. Therefore, the Holy Spirit can't come in to unbelievers, to the world, because the world doesn't receive him. Is not interested. Now he says, but you know him, and he lives with you, and he will be where? In you. Everybody say, in me. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. Do you see that? He, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things. He didn't say, I will teach you. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. Say this out loud. The Holy Spirit, is my teacher. You need to recognize him for that, and you need to give him the honor due to the fact that he is your teacher. So you could say, Holy Spirit, teach me. When you read the book and you go, oh, I don't understand what I'm reading here. Say, Holy Spirit, you wrote this book. You wrote the book, and you know what you were trying to say. I just can't figure it out. Would you teach me, Holy Spirit, what you were trying to say here? You got it? All right. And then he said, he will send him in my name, and he will teach you all things, and he will remind you of everything that I have said to you. All right, so let me show you something here. I like to show God. People don't, you know, they say, what illustrates the Trinity? The Trinity. So I like to illustrate the Trinity. Can you give me one that works? Thank you. I like to illustrate the Trinity as a triangle. Like that. And this side I have Jesus. And here I have the Father. And here I have the Holy Spirit. Now, what I have, it's called an equilateral triangle. Three sides are equal. Right? It's one unit with three sides joined together. Every side has its own character, Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. But they're one. Three in one. Okay? If I take one side out, I don't have a triangle. So that's the sign I do on my golf ball. I do a little triangle on my golf ball. And I pray, God, help me when I hit it. Now, Jesus asks, that's what he said. He's always asking, he's praying, he's standing in intercession for us. So Jesus asks the Father, and the Father gives. You have to believe that he's a giver, that he's a rewarder. There's no changing in him. He always gives good gifts. The Father is the giver. Jesus is the one who paid the price. He's got the right to do the asking. I'll ask the Father, he'll give you another. He'll give you. I'll ask the Father, he'll give you. Anything you ask the Father in my name, he'll give you. Jesus tells you, you can ask in my name. And he tells you the Father will give it to you. You feel that? And then later on, Jesus says, I will give you stuff. I'm going to show you in a minute. And the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. The Holy Spirit is the revelation. The Holy Spirit, let me write the word here, administers. Big word, administers the grace. The Holy Spirit takes what is the Father's and the Son's and pours it out in the earth. The Holy Spirit is in charge on the earth. The Holy Spirit is administering to us everything provided by God, the Father, and the Son. He's in charge down here. He's the one doing the anointing. He's the one empowering the church. He's the one with the gifts. He's the one who wrote the book. He's the one who gets you born again, does the work. He's the one who comes and dwells in you so that you're at the temple. Are you listening? He is the glory that's upon you. He is administering everything that Jesus did for us and the Father gave us. How dare we ignore him? How dare we put him in the back corner and say, no Holy Spirit in our church? Then you ought to get saved. Or you ought to read the Bible. Because the Holy Spirit is so important that if you sin against him, you don't go anywhere except straight to hell with no get out of jail free card. There's one person you can't sin against is the Holy Spirit. The Father and Jesus so honor the Spirit. They so honor him. We ought to do the same. You know the Bible says we can quench the Spirit? We can stop him from moving? We can put his fire out? I'll talk about that on the night of Pentecost. About the fire. Because we're going to get baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. But we can put the fire out. Bible clearly says don't quench the Spirit. Don't put the fire out. Folks, I'm not here to run other churches down. That's not my point. My point is to make you aware of where we have come short as the Christian body so that we can move into what God really has for us. We can't move into what God has for us until we recognize who the Holy Spirit is and what part he's to play in us. And stop resisting the gifts. Stop resisting the gifts that he gave us. So the scripture tells us that Jesus said this. He said, it's better for you. It's more important for you that I go away. Because if I go, then the Holy Spirit will come. The Comforter will come. And if I don't go, you won't receive the Holy Spirit. The Comforter cannot come if I don't go. But if I go, I will send him to you. I will send the Holy Spirit to you. Now, that word comforter or advocate or helper, you all know it is the Greek word parakletos. Go ahead, show me. There it is. And what it means, it's actually a legal term. And the best way to understand this, it's a legal term. It goes like this, that the word means an advocate. We're waiting for the word to come up. We're still waiting. There we go. Thank you. Keep going. Thank you. Waiting for the Greek word. It's all Greek to me. There's no Greek word there? Okay. That's sad. What are you? Huh? I'll write it up here for you. I'll write it up here for you. All right. This is the Greek word, all right? P-A-R-A. Para. It's easy for you to say. Parakletos, all right? Parakletos, and it means an advocate. Basically, what he's saying is this. Someone who comes to your legal aid, your legal assistant, your counsel for the defense, an intercessor, someone who pleads the case on behalf of somebody, someone who acts on behalf of another person. In other words, if you use an attorney is your representative, but he's not your advocate. An attorney represents you, can't go to court and fight your case. You need to have an advocate that goes to court. And in court, the advocate who knows the entire legal system and all the ins and outs how it works then makes a defense for you. And that's who the Holy Spirit is. You see, you're under attack by the accuser. And he comes to your aid as your legal defense. That's who he is. He knows the Bible. He wrote the Bible. And then he comes to your aid. So you have to invoke his counsel. You have to listen to his counsel. Let me deviate a little bit, just a moment, and explain something. Well, a story in our own life. If you've been to hospital or a loved one has been to hospital, you know that you actually have to stand by and help them. Otherwise, people will kill them in hospital. A lot of people go into hospital, don't come out, and they die from other reasons. Well, Jackie was in hospital after her stroke, and I was taking care of her, just being there. Sometimes the IVs weren't working. Sometimes the feeding tubes weren't working, and she wasn't getting any nourishment for 8 hours. Sometimes the tubes that she was on wasn't changed. They were taking blood out of all over her arm, and they couldn't get blood anywhere here because we've got rolling veins. And I kept on writing notes for them, please don't do this. You know, it was a horrific situation as I was constantly running interference and trying to keep her alive long enough to survive the stroke. And one day, she'd been in hospital about 3 or 4 weeks, and she was exhausted. And she was trying to get some sleep. Now, remember, she was blind and she was mute. She couldn't speak. She couldn't see. So I was the only means of communicating with the world, and I was trying to communicate with her through squeezing her hand and that kind of stuff. And I had closed the door, and I put a note on the door. She's going to go to sleep now. I said, please don't disturb. Well, I was sitting down outside of her room, and about an hour later, somebody came down to draw blood, wearing a white coat, carrying a knife. I'm coming to get blood. And he's about to knock on the door, and I said, no, please, she's sleeping. Please leave her alone. You know, they wake up every 2 hours to find out if she was sleeping. Are you still alive? If you keep doing this, I won't be. Let her rest and sleep. But, you know, they've got to do what they've got to do. I don't understand all the medical practices, but right now I know she needed rest. And so I'm saying, please don't disturb her. She's going to rest. He said, well, I've got to do my job. I've got to get the blood. I've got to do my job. If I don't take the blood. And he was going off. I said, please, please come back. Come back another hour, 2 hours. Just give her a little bit of rest. He said, I'm sorry. I've got to do it. So I jumped in between her door and him, face to face, like this. I was in his space. And I said to him, I appreciate what you've got to do, but I want to tell you something. I've got something to do as well. And I said to him, I got 2 black belts in karate. If you don't back off and give her time to rest, the only person giving blood today will be you. And he looked at his sheet and he said, oh, yeah, it's the wrong room. That's right, it's the wrong room. And he walked off. And right then, the Holy Spirit said to me, you are being an advocate to her as I am to the church. See, I was fighting her case. She couldn't fight it. She was blind. She was mute. If somebody didn't step in and protect her, this system would have just continued doing whatever it wanted to do. So somebody had to rise up and say, enough. And the Bible tells me that when sin comes in, the Holy Spirit will rise up as a standard. The Holy Spirit is your defense. He's your paraclete. He's your helper. He's there to help you overcome. And when you don't know what to do and how to deal with it, the Holy Spirit does. You've just got to learn to acknowledge and to call upon him and how to do that. So we're going to help you. Can I have 5 more minutes? I know the bell went off, but I set the bell. I want to tell you this a little bit here. You know, Holy Spirit will show you the future. And this is something we all desperately need to know. He will show you the future. In John 16, 13, Jesus said this, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. And then he said he will not speak on his own. He will speak only that which he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. So he will speak. That's what he hears the Father and I talking about. He's going to take what's mine and he will show it to you. He's going to reveal it to you. He will tell you what's going on in heaven. See, how many of you believe that you were actually led to the Promised Church? It wasn't an accident. And you've been here, and something's happened in your heart. Something has happened. You've received spiritual growth. Some truth has come to you that you didn't have before. Holy Spirit will lead you into what? All truth. That's a sign the Holy Spirit brought you here. To hear truth that you didn't have before. You listening to me? This is not me bragging on me. This is me telling you the Holy Spirit brought you here because there was something that I could impart to you via the anointing that you hadn't heard before that's going to help you. And the truth does what to you? Sets you free. How many are more free that they've been here than they were before? So there's another sign. There's another sign. It's the Holy Spirit in the house because the truth sets you free. He brings you into truth. Truth sets you free. And suddenly you find out, whoa, I like being a Christian. I can do this. All that condemnation is gone. I love God, and I'm enjoying this, and I'm going to do more. Have you seen the young people in the church? Have you seen the young people in this church? If you're under 35, stand to your feet right now. If you're under 35, stand to your feet. Give them a round of applause. Okay? Thank you so much. That in itself is an absolute miracle. In this size church, there are 40% of the congregation under 35. What does it say? It says they have found the truth. It set them free. There's no condemnation to them. They're loving Jesus. They're loving life. And they're enjoying the journey. Isn't that right? Give them another round of applause. We love our young people. Holy Spirit will show you things to come. One morning, I've always worked at home. I like working at home. And I always had a study at home, and Jackie would go off to the office. She ran the church for us the whole time we were in ministry together. She ran the church. At one time, we had 28 full-time staff members, and Jackie ran the whole church, and she did everything, music and children's church. And I was just thinking of things I could give her to do. Because she was only working 23 out of 24 hours, so she had lots of time off. One of the most amazing woman you'll ever meet in your life. Just loves God, loves her family, and just is so filled with faith. I tell you, if you get around her, if she sneezes, suck it up because you'll get healed. Okay, you breathe it in. Breathe it in. You'll get healed. She's that full of faith. She left for work one morning, and as she left, I had a terrible anxiety in me. About something I wasn't sure what it was, and I began to pray. And I began to pray in the Spirit, by the Spirit, in tongues. I was praying in the Spirit, and it became groanings. It was like intense, like, wow, I think I'm going to die. And I prayed like that for about 15 minutes, and I was exhausted when I was finished. Well, I called the office to find out if Jackie was there. I just said, I've got to tell you what happened. She says, well, let me tell you what happened. I said, what happened? Well, we lived about 20 miles away from the work, and it was a little windy road in South Africa, two vehicles on the same, and really soft sidewalks, potholes and sand, nothing beautiful like you have here in Escondido. I can have what I say. Amen. Wide open roads. So it was tiny and congested and everything. Well, she had this tiny little car she thought was a sports car. And she decided she was going to overtake this 18-wheeler truck. But what she didn't know was that the road did like waves. And she went to overtake this truck, and she was riding next to him, and she got hit by the wind of the truck and the waves, and the little car was bouncing around and bouncing in and off the road and into potholes and stuff. When she looked up, there was a car in front of her coming right at her. There was no way she could get in front of the truck. She couldn't get off the road because the potholes were bigger than her car wheels. And it was at that time that I was praying. And in a supernatural split second, and she doesn't know how it happened, she told me on the phone. She said, I knew I was going to die. I was looking at the car hitting me. And suddenly I was in front of the truck. Wow. I don't know how it happened. I don't know what happened. But she said, I'm still shaking. I thought I was dead. That was it. And I said, well, that would explain why I had that intense urge to pray. I didn't know what I was praying for, but this is what happened. So the Holy Spirit told me to pray about something that was going to happen changed our life, kept us alive. You see, if we would listen to the Holy Spirit talking to us about our children and family, there's a good possibility that you'd live longer. Yeah? You listen, you'd live longer. Your kids would live longer. And it's not that God wanted you to die early or that you're a bad person. It's that stuff happens in life and the Holy Spirit can help you to avoid the stuff. Can I tell you one more story? Yes. I'm going to tell you anyway. We're on our way to church Sunday night back in South Africa. And we had been gone about 15 minutes. We were halfway to church. And suddenly Jackie says to me, "We've got to go back." I said, "Why?" She says, "I've got to go back. I have anxiety all over me. Something is wrong at home. I've got to go back. If Mama's not happy, nobody's happy." So we stopped the car, turn around, go home. Well, what had happened, although we had a babysitter taking care of little Cindy, one of the neighborhood boys had come into the house and was trying to sexually molest her. And we caught it in action, stopped, protected her. How would you like to have had the Holy Spirit warn you about certain things that you could have prevented in your family from going on had you been aware? I'm trying to help you. We can't go back and fix the past, but we surely can make a difference about what's coming in the future. If you learn to understand who the Holy Spirit is and what He wants to do for you, I'm telling you now, it will change your future in Jesus' name. Amen? All right, we're going to have to stop there. We're going to have to stop there. Every eye closed.